The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Your discretion is advised. Shit!
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Donnie, Brian, Rob, and Joe reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello everyone, it's 4 a.m. once again, and that means it's time for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I am your coach, as always, Tony. Joining with me today is...
We could have been watching Goddamn Yojimbo.
What?
Fucking Will.
Could have been watching Coach, I guess. What are you talking about?
I'm Joe, and I'm already mad.
I'm Martha.
Brianna.
Yeah. Oh, if we're doing that, then I guess I'm Joanne.
I guess I'm Roberta, which is like the ugliest. Sorry, all you Bertas out there.
Where are Rob's Doritos?
Robin?
Yeah, I'm Robin.
All right.
Or at least that's what some lady at a desk told me. Hey, you're Robin.
At least you inherited a nice cave. So he's Coach, but it's not first class. Getting respect is one big goal. It's the comedy with balls. We did.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm serious. We did Ladybugs from 1993.
Holy All of shit. Those jokes are in the movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. Oh. Well, I think except for he's Coach, not first class, which is
only because they couldn't get him on an airplane.
Yeah, it's the dumbest fucking tagline ever.
They were planning that for the sequel. They were like, "Oh, we're gonna do a sequel when they go, you know, international."
Yeah, that's where they have to compete in the World Cup.
Yeah. So this is a very special episode,
Ladybugs World Cups.
Mm. This was sponsored by our dear listener William.
Thanks, William.
Thanks, William.
Yeah, you know, thanks for sponsoring an episode.
He chose this instead of Yojimbo. But
hey, he can pick whatever he wants to pick. He paid us to watch this.
Yeah. He paid.
Because he's got feelings for Vanessa Shaw.
Or he wanted us to be on a watch list for downloading this. I mean, buying this.
You mean renting it through Amazon Prime Video?
Yes. That thing that we totally did.
Yeah, for $2.
For money.
For money.
Either way, the FBI is now going to scrutinize everything else that we do.
They are not going to waste their time.
Yeah. I don't know.
They got to about the Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah, it's like, fuck.
That's fair. Hey, maybe we'll have another listener at least. All right, so this movie is directed by Sidney J. Fury. Who's
Wait, really?
It's a real person.
Real last name?
It's spelled differently, but okay. Yeah.
Oh, is it spelled with two R's? Because I'd believe that.
No. but he is the auteur behind such classics as A Cool Sound from Hell, Dr. Blood's Coffin, The Snake Woman,
and Ladybugs.
Wait. Then we're on the upswing with The Entity, Iron Eagle.
Oh, Iron Eagle?
Ooh, Superman?
That's on the list.
It's Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Oh,
Iron right. Eagle 2, Rock the World, and The Circle.
Oh, Superman 4. That's like the worst one.
Yeah, it was like he's just got a roller coaster ride.
Does he?
He does. What, Iron Eagle? You're not...
Iron Eagle's dope.
Yeah, I mean,
fuck you, it's dope.
I mean,
I watched it every day.
Take it off the list. I don't want to ruin it, that movie.
No, I watched that shit every day when I was a kid. Yes. Like, I loved the hell out of it.
I was trying to tie my Walkman to my leg.
But you can love something.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things.
Oh, I'm not going to defend it.
That I love. Mm. Oh, by the way, Brian, that new Zoids show looks terrible.
Oh.
Terrible.
So, Tony, why don't you tell me about this movie?
Yeah, tell us about this movie.
Was he aroused?
Better yet, why don't we get into our history with this movie? Joe.
I saw it a few times when I was 12. I guess I would have been when this came out, 12, 13. I remember it being better. That's it.
I'm not surprised. Rob.
I was also 12 when this movie came out. And I thought it was a girls' soccer movie, so I wanted nothing to do with it.
Okay. You sexist bastard. Brian.
I was also 12 when this came out, and I liked this movie when I was a kid. It reminded me of my uncle. like
he's you really want to clarify that,
like,
bud?
No, like, you don't understand. Like my uncle, like him and like Dangerfield was him. Like
okay,
how he talked, like, what you with the eyes were like. He was the same person,
identical twins.
So like it reminded me of my uncle. Like so, I watched most of Dangerfield's movies, but I shouldn't have. So I probably didn't get most of the jokes, but.
And really, next time, put that up front, because this movie reminding you of your uncle makes us think we should, you know, talk to a therapist.
Well, no, we should talk to a therapist. We always take things. Yeah. If you listen to the podcast, you know
unrelated,
we
should all talk to therapists. yeah.
All of us.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw this in the theaters with a friend for his birthday, and I think I've seen it once or twice
the
since.
The theater?
I think so.
For his birthday.
We had a track record of for his birthday. We'd go to the movies. You know, you'd get to bring a couple friends and see some a lot of things that'll come up on this podcast, I'm sure.
I saw Beauty and the Beast for a friend's birthday. Probably never appear on this podcast.
Probably not.
I also saw Willow. Which I believe I told that story during the Willow
episode. I believe you did.
And that movie did appear on this podcast.
It did. I did not pee my pants during the episode, though.
Which you can see on our Podbean page.
You can, actually. You can go to 4ampodcast.podbean.com and find our Willow episode. I also believe that is the first official Fat Chat Talk.
I think you're correct.
Episode.
Vintage 4am podcast.
So if you hate listening to us chew into our microphones, go to 4ampodcast.podbean.com and download all the episodes before Willow.
Okay. Pretty sure that's going to be on those episodes as well.
It is. We just don't talk about it as much.
But anyway. All right. So, brief history of this movie. Leonardo DiCaprio was almost cast in the lead role as Michael, but the director...
Matthew,
I'm sorry. But the director felt he looked a little too beautiful in a wig. Whoa. And it ruined the joke. Okay. Yeah, he was passed over and then, you know, went on to do a little thing called What's Eating Gilbert Grape instead.
Where are my Doritos?
Was it literally just like the guy from Saturday Night Live just going, no, it's too sexy?
In my head, yes.
You ever seen that sketch?
No.
Like, the guy would like try out an outfit, so he's like, no, it's too sexy.
Okay.
Apparently, Rodney Dangerfield showed up to film this movie.
Drunk?
No. But right.
On cocaine.
He did have a suitcase full of like utensils, like he was a door-to-door salesman, and then went home every night with all the contents from the craft service table that he get put in like a storage bag or something.
Wow.
So
I mean, that's just, if it's not going to get used, you're just going to throw it out. You might as well.
Yeah, you can't argue with it, but like, you got to wonder what's going on here.
You want to make a nice stew.
Yeah, founded that's the Carl Weathers like School of Acting.
That's almost like a Fat Chat kind of
moment. Listen, Rodney Dangerfield is one of the elites, man. Mm-hmm. He's taking those day-old bagels home. Well, I say home, but I mean whatever alley he was sleeping
those
in.
Those did not survive the trip home.
No, but once you roast them over a garbage can fire, they you know, they crisp up. You can make a nice pizza.
Okay. And, of course, Jonathan Brandis and Vanessa Shaw actually dated during the production of this movie.
With or without the wig?
That Too is bad. Not part of the movie.
You beat me. Beat me to it.
All right,
and so I appreciate it.
Does anyone want to guess at how much money this movie cost to make?
I could not find this information. I looked at the IMDb
and,
page.
Prepare to be sick to your stomach.
Okay,
how many girls were on that team?
What do you think they were making a mil each?
Well, I mean, they were each getting a harassment lawsuit.
That's what I'm saying. So,
all right,
I'm going to say $25 million because there are at least 12 girls on that team, $1 million apiece, and then the actual expenses for the movie.
I'm going to low balls it at $13 million.
I'm gonna go higher. I'm going to say 30.
What was yours, Brian?
25.
It was $20 million.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I've got it. I'm pretty sure it didn't make that.
No. Do you want to guess how much it did make?
13.
I think I know.
17, almost 18?
14.
It was about $14 million. This movie did not do very well. It was against some heavy hitters, I gotta say. But it's 92. This is around the time Aladdin came out. So, not gonna do very well.
Slight quality drop off.
Yeah. And who's in this cast, Joe?
All right. So, $20 million will get you Rodney Dangerfield as Chester Lee.
Well, to be fair, $20 will get you Rodney Dangerfield.
Jackie Harry as Julie Benson. As
Jack
A.
Yes.
Jonathan Brandis as Matthew/Martha. Elaine Graff as Bess. And Vanessa Shaw as Kimberly Mullen.
That's all that matters.
It really is, all that matters.
Yes.
It's just like too many, but...
Yes. I considered including like the Mons or some of the other kids, but I figured no.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah. All right. So this movie really starts off with a bang.
Yo, I don't get how this fucking movie starts, because like he's in some like cult looking like Nazi esque looking seminar.
Okay, mm-hmm. Did anybody else think of John Hurt and V for Vendetta?
A little bit.
Like, not. It had the black and red colors. That guy. I mean, he wasn't John Hurt, but it had a similar vibe.
Yeah.
Did he have gross teeth?
Yeah, he had kind of gross teeth, and yeah, it had the same color scheme and everything.
It's like this self-help seminar where you give like yourself affirmations, like, I believe it's, I'm great, I'm wonderful, and everyone likes me.
It is straight up is Stuart it. Smalley.
Everybody likes me.
Yeah.
Yes. It is like, straight up. Smalley, yes.
And like, it never gets touched on the rest of the movie, ever again. Maybe the end you can like, extrapolate from it, because it's like...
I think it's implying that he goes to professional development seminars to be better at his job, which I think he mentions that when he's talking to Jackie on the car phone.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, sweet car phone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, what the hell does he do?
He sells.
He's a salesman.
Exactly. All right.
He lies to his fiance.
He sells craft services.
He's a salesman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So based on him selling utensils out of his briefcase.
He's a salesman.
Correct. He makes sales.
Does he perhaps sell fish?
He made his first $1 million sale.
Yay.
All right. I'm going to queue up Hanging Out with the Family on my phone. We'll listen to that entire song.
He did that selling things that, you know, like fish and stuff, such as seals.
Solar panels?
And solar panels.
So
we have gone to Birdemic.
Okay. You have watched too much Birdemic.
There's no such
thing. There's a lot of shock and terror to come up in this episode.
All right, off topic, I totally bought an ice cream bunny collector's pin. I just want you all to know. So I just want to William, I know you sponsored this episode hoping that we would have an in-depth talk about the state of sports and males and females.
Gender normativity.
Yes. I apologize right now because none of that is going
to
happen.
We are not the four people you want to do that.
No.
To be fair, this is also not the movie to do that.
Exactly. No, this is like...
I believe the overall message of this movie is if you want to win at women's sports... Hire a bunch of dudes and put wigs on them?
Put a dude in it.
No. The theme of the movie is cheat to get what you want.
That too.
Yeah.
And your pushover fiance will forgive you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but...
Because you're a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But okay, back on this. He's driving home after the seminar, and immediately we get a dude that tells him he looks like a giant asshole. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, who is this for? This is PG-13. In theory, this is a kid's movie.
Here's my second thing.
Who is this for?
I can't read it right. Yeah. Oh.
Well, I think that just happened.
<It's> so they were just filming and some guy
may have just been alive.
Saw Rodney situation. Dangerfield. You look like a giant asshole.
And the director's like, oh, Rodney, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Rodney's like, keep it. You're not throwing any of that film out, are you? Yeah. You got yourself a movie going.
That was another thing. He was happy that the director used like multiple cameras to get everything so he would not use a lot of multiple takes.
Really?
And thus not waste a lot of Rodney Dangerfield's time.
Wow.
He also went on record saying that he did this movie because it was a thing to do.
I mean, if you watch it, it's pretty much just Rodney doing his stand-up routine.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Makes me wonder if his other movies were like that.
Pretty much.
To an extent, yeah. Like, his... He had a charm about him, I guess. Yeah.
Well, that was always, I think, a part of his movies, but, like, by the time we hit Meet Wally Sparks, it was just that, and that's why it didn't work out so well.
You saw that?
I saw that.
I don't even know what that is.
Let me ask you a question, Tony. Have you seen Rover Dangerfield?
I think I have.
All right, then.
I don't know if I've seen it in its entirety. Same with Meet Wally Sparks, but I've seen bits of it.
So is Rover Dangerfield, does he become a dog or voice a dog?
He voices a dog.
Okay.
A dog that looks like him.
Yeah, it's just him as a dog.
It's creepy.
Doing his routine.
Getting no respect.
Slightly changed to be dog jokes.
How many legs was he humping in the movie?
I think all of them.
Okay. Probably. Speaking of humping legs, we clocked this in at 4 minutes into the movie and we get our first masturbation joke.
Which was that one?
That's what you want in a kid's film.
Yeah, which joke?
Comment about if you're too close to TV, you'll strain your eyes and then something else.
Later.
Yeah.
Oh, because he was just watching two butts gyrate on
the screen. He's watching the butt channel.
All right. Yeah. Let's.
Known as MTV.
Let's back it up. Explain to the people listening what the hell we're talking about.
I think we just did.
We didn't. We didn't say who was watching the TV, who was talking to who, what the two butts were.
You meet his potential son-in-law here, Matthew, played by Jonathan Brett.
Correct, yes. He arrives at home. He's trying to have a conversation with this kid, and the kid is watching... I don't MTV. Even know what is it MTV? Yeah. Is it like sweating to the oldies?
It's just two not that sexy butts.
Really flat white girl butts
in early 90s butts. Yeah, like that's what it is.
Super big pants. Like
MTV.
Yeah. Well, you can't just say that because people listening may not ever have experienced that MTV.
Well, like All right,
but to be fair. From what I've heard so far, anyone listening to this has experienced that.
Tony just said you're all old.
I know I'm old. Sorry.
And all of our audience is old.
You're all old.
No, that's just fine. Anyone younger doesn't listen to the episodes they don't care about. Mm. But anyway.
But then we keep doing these movies that people don't care about.
Because we're made to now.
We're on the list. Like, okay.
All right. So anyway.
Don't worry about it.
Chester's...
Yeah.
Chester,
he's gonna get his
Lester.
He's gonna get his big promotion.
Yes,
and he's excited about that. He's just gotta go talk to his boss, and he makes it sound like this is happening.
Right,
it's a lock.
Well, that's like a total '80s thing. It's like I've been at the company. I'm getting a promotion.
Well, back in the day, it used to just kind of be like that.
Yeah,
that's when like unions did more stuff.
Oh. Apparently not, because the boss is immediately like, "I gotta reject another dude today." Like.
My boss is super on crack. I'm going to ask for a raise.
Mm-hmm.
Get it.
Well, because this is 1992, and Dangerfield thought he was still, he's acting like it was the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
All right. So this boss is like, I got a very Trumpish vibe from him.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Yeah. Like, he looked like the kind of guy that's like, I want to be like Donald Trump.
That's probably on purpose.
Yeah, I definitely see that.
I mean, they made him kind of a dick, but he wasn't overtly hateful towards immigrants or anyone different.
No, but
from
like
him.
1992 Donald Trump.
Oh, okay, just
like, I got a lot of money.
That's fair.
Yeah,
look at all the things I have.
Mm-hmm.
Where I would argue you didn't see him interact with anyone from a different race. Mm. So
this is true.
Well, he made sure he doesn't have to.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's a dick. And he's like, I'm going to reject this dude. I'm going to take a phone call right in the middle of his little speech and everything. But his wife is all complaining because the soccer team they sponsor lost their coach. They need somebody new. So he basically agrees to take over as coach for this team.
Which
in the
is
hopes
like
of getting his raise.
Creepy as fuck because like, he doesn't mention that his daughter plays for his team at all. Like we find out later on when she shows up and says her name. But like, his office is this giant, like
Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Well, like no, it's this giant, like
Donald
townscape.
Trump's Playhouse.
Yeah, that townscape was built. Mm-hmm. And on one wall is all these trophies and shit, all for soccer. Yep. And Dangerfield's like, oh, you like to play soccer? He goes, oh no, I don't play, never have. Yeah. And he's like, what the fuck?
Which is a fair reaction.
He's like, well, I sponsor a girls' soccer team, and I'm real proud of them. And he's, and it's just like, that's creepy. Like, yeah. That's creepy. Like,
I don't think he said that, because he goes way creepier in the rest of this movie.
Yeah. Like,
so,
also, I want to point out, though, I think they were trying to foreshadow his daughters on the team, because he has a family photo on his desk that is weirdly pointed away from where he's seating. Seated. It's seated. Yeah, I can't talk. But it's pointed at, it, you know, the front of the desk, so anyone sitting in front of him can look at it, but not him, which is just weird.
Well, he was he was probably doing something at his desk, like cheating on his wife. Mm-hmm. It was like, don't look at me.
All right.
Secretary was under the desk.
So, I've had to ask for promotions before, make presentations, stuff like that. And, you know, I'm not the most suave when I do that. But Chester asking for a promotion, it was awkward as fuck. Like, I'm just
so awkward.
The manager in me was just like, yo, spit that shit out. He's just rambling for a while.
It's like how I used to ask for dates. Like, last week. I
mean, better to me, because you get words out. I just go like,
don't worry, guys.
My pants are messy.
Fall over.
Don't worry. I'll give you all a lesson in how to lie really well.
Mm-hmm. Well, this movie taught me, if you just lie, you get what you want, just lie. You don't
just lie,
you
know,
as long as you win, she's going to forgive you.
You don't have to have a good personality.
Yeah. So anyway, so now, like, the boss just gets a phone call, and, like, since Ronnie Dangerfield spent, like, 5 minutes just rambling about nothing, he's just like, screw you, I'm answering this phone call.
And he's rude as fuck.
Yeah, real rude. He's like, I got time to talk. And he's just talking to this guy about golf and all that other crap.
He didn't even say, pardon me while I answer this. He just answered it.
Yeah. So.
No, he actually told the guy, like, this was a perfect time to call. I was doing nothing.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you.
So Dangerfield walks around the office and breaks things. Goes to, like, some model of a building or something and breaks a gazebo or something. Yeah. And then Shirley just tries to bury it under some fake water.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Like you do.
Yeah.
Some blue M&Ms.
But he only, like, does half of a job. He just walks away.
That's why he didn't get a promotion.
Yeah.
In his attempt to ask Kiss, like Tony said, he managed to get put in charge of this damn soccer team.
Yeah.
Like,
Oh, is right.
So, it's the next day. Rodney Dangerfield is meeting his soccer team for the first time.
Yep. Oh, and his assistant is the assistant coach now.
Oh, because he lied about her leg of soccer and how he needs her to help him with the soccer shit.
So he just dragged her into this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's like, you're going to get us both fired. And he's like, fuck you. We're doing this.
In fairness, I don't know how far she can get on her own. Because, I mean, you see her eat that Subway sandwich.
Dude. Like, I mean, she gets points for eating a big-ass sub.
Yeah.
But at the same time, her technique was all off.
Who the fuck starts in the middle of a sandwich?
Come on, man. Come on. Yeah, unless, I'll play devil's advocate here.
Okay.
Sometimes, when I get a big Subway sandwich like that, I'll go around the, you know, I'll do a little edging. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Just get all the lettuce and pickles that are kind of sticking out the side.
Yeah.
Just clean it up a little bit.
Well,
maybe.
Yeah. Sometimes you gotta clean it so that you don't get any accidental.
Yeah, you gotta trim the hedges, man.
Yeah. You don't want that in your lap.
Yeah.
No. Maybe that's what she was doing.
You don't need some spillover.
No, but then there's a bite out of it in the middle.
I know. I was trying to do benefit of the doubt. She's just...
Yeah, no, she is straight up eating it from the center.
Also, I'm pretty sure that sandwich was just bread.
I was just going to say, I'm not sure there was anything in there.
Well, I mean, in that case, if she's just straight up eating a loaf of bread, she could start wherever she wants,
that's
I guess.
True, yeah. If you're doing that, all bets are off.
It's just, she might be part squirrel. I don't
know. It's just butter.
All right, we get the obligatory, like, he has the van full of soccer balls, and he says, all I could say is, I got a lot of balls.
Oh, hey.
All right. Which I think 12-year-old Joe found that rather funny.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, honestly, so earlier, his boss was talking about his wife and what a philanthropist kind of, you know, how she likes to do charity events. And he Dangerfield goes, yeah, I know your wife. She handles all the policemen's balls. And that, I did.
A rim shot.
Goes it got a it got a genuine chuckle out of me. All right,
that's fine.
That's fair.
One of like two times in this whole movie.
All right, but anyway, he's meeting the team. Yeah. We got, you know, there's the like highfalutin girl, I guess we'll call her, for like a super fashion girl.
Her name.
Popular girl.
She was like like the pageant kind of girl.
The ugly one.
Yeah. Oh, crushing everybody.
We'll get to that one. No. But we get Chu, who likes butterflies. There's the awkward girl Penny with the glasses and her hair up, who I guess just can't talk.
So according to this movie, she is the ugly one.
She is the ugly one.
Correct.
Penny Pester.
But I mean, they don't like in the defense of the movie, I guess they don't really treat her like she's actually ugly.
Mm-hmm.
They just make her really shy the whole time.
Yeah, it's fair. It's not like a lot of people run around like, ooh.
Yeah, like none of the girls really make fun of her. Like, they're still all a team.
Yeah.
Which is totally unrealistic.
We'll get to that scene later. Like, I got stuff to say about that.
We've all got stuff to say about that. Holy crap, man.
So anyway, it turns out, what's her name? Shows up, the daughter.
Kim?
Kimberly.
The daughter of his boss, she's part of the team. Mm. So we, you know, he's like, oh, I'm going to treat her extra special. He's like pampering her, like setting down a blanket, napkin, whatever the hell he's doing here.
Touching her kind of weirdly.
A little bit.
It's just so awkward, but yeah.
The whole thing.
This guy.
And then there's just a game the first day.
I don't think it was the first day. I think the editing was done poorly to let you know how real poor time has
passed. So also,
he did not bother to learn how soccer works. Like, I understand for the first practice you didn't know, but you didn't bother to learn before the first game.
Joe.
Yeah.
You lie about everything.
You do.
You know what? You want, Joe.
But, you know, you think a good salesman like that would know.
He lied in the office about being such a great soccer player that he was like, oh, I've played all the positions. And like, you know, he's just naming shit.
All the sports.
Yes. But, like, you would think then the first thing you do is maybe learn a few of those positions. So if that comes up again, you are prepared.
Yeah. Tony, his life has taught him.
Just fucking wing it.
He's entitled to whatever he wants. And he can lie to get anything. And he will never face repercussions for his lies, ever.
And he just continues on that track and learns.
Why bother? If that's what life has taught you, why change?
And it works consistently.
Yeah. If it works all the time, why change?
Yeah.
This is fair.
These are so spice.
All right. So, this first game, they are terrible.
Oh, so terrible.
Also, like, Penny Pester somehow keeps falling into the goal?
Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
Like a fish caught in a net.
Like, seriously, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, the girls are just, like, legit falling over where they stand. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, she just falls. She not only falls over herself, she almost takes another player down with her.
Except for Kimberly, however, has, like, fucking like Hulk feet over
thunder thighs.
She kicks the ball into the next time zone.
Yep.
Yeah, I was saying, I think she's just picturing her father's face on the ball, and she's like, bam!
So what is, all right, what is the median age range with these girls?
I
10 to 20.
I think they're 12 to 14.
Okay.
I mean, she says she's 20 and looks like she's 16. She's 12.
Okay.
Adds up.
At least we know.
Some Chris Rock math there.
We do hear Matthew's age at one point,
14.
Right? He's 14.
Yep.
So I guess that's generally the
Ronnie Dangerfield's age.
It's like
44.
It's the middle school. Like it's like a middle school age team. So like if you're if you started early enough, you'd be just in high school. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Freshman high school.
I think
the last year of the team.
That's it. Their age is middle school.
Yeah,
that's like it. Just middle school.
So I want our listeners just to remember that. That's all. All
right.
Wrap it in a four-leaf clover and tuck it in your pocket for later.
All right. So they failed miserably. The boss is like, you got to get your shit together and make this happen. Or, you know, there's going to be repercussions. I'm going away for the weekend. I want you to be better by the time I get back. Which,
I'm not
again,
taking my daughter with me.
No. It's also confusing because, like, are we to believe the next two games seem to happen before his weekend is over?
No.
Like, because that's kind of how it plays out.
It's just it's edited so poorly. Like you don't know if they have practice every day. Yeah. You don't know if they practice once a week.
Also, you know, he's a rich white man. A weekend could be any length of time.
But that's the thing. Yeah. He seems to show up again for game three. And he's like, you know, I know you said you wanted to be better by the next time we're here. So admittedly, that doesn't mean he was on vacation the whole time, but he could have been.
About this for probably
that's entirely possible.
Including his daughter.
That's entirely possible.
Anyway, we do miss a kind of funny conversation about how black people are better at all sports.
We missed the conversation too because Brian was going on a rant the whole time.
No, I went on a rant after.
Okay,
because Dangerfield was like, oh, sports. What about hockey? What about whatever? I'm like, motherfucker, we play hockey now. Motherfucker, yeah. We skate too now, and we swim too now. Fuck you, Dangerfield.
Gone are the days when none of us could swim.
Fuck you, Dangerfield. We do all that shit. We ain't here. Yeah, we do all that shit. That
work. It's almost like if anybody
in 1992 though,
we was doing it too. Kind of was not. Yeah.
It's almost as if somebody tries something and really works at it in practice, they can be good at anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Except the Chinese.
He doesn't have Doritos. He's got these Trader Joe's knockoffs, and they're just not doing the job.
They're not cutting it.
Yeah.
Fucking Trader Joe's. Anyway, he also is his potential stepson there, Matthew, is in trouble at school because he's just a little shit, I guess. I don't know.
He's unmotivated.
Yeah, he's crushing on Kimberly here, but he's also getting himself in some trouble. He gets kicked off all the teams, even though he loves sports and that's all he talks about. So Dangerfield's like, I've got to talk to him, and I got to get this team together so maybe he can help me out with that, and brings him to the field where he's like, just watch them for a little bit and tell me what's going on, how are things working, what do we need to change. And then we get the most awkward scene, perhaps. Maybe not.
We do get an awkward scene.
I felt like so weird during this whole thing.
Yeah.
Worst part about it is like he kidnaps this kid. Well, not really. He picks him up from school. He's gonna bring him home, but brings him to the soccer field.
Yeah,
instead.
He does the classic dad move of, you know, we're going to that place that you had no idea we were going to and would have protested if you knew.
He's like, so if you don't help me, either way, you're still fucking stuck here. taking
a dog to the vet.
But I think he's like, you know, oh, just, you know, you could stay here or whatever. I'll be back in a couple minutes. Like, you are coaching for the day. Like, that's at least an hour, right? Mm-hmm. I would think. I mean, probably, the timeline in this, who the hell could tell, but...
Yeah, like...
So, you don't just walk away from that.
Yeah.
So this kid agrees to watch this team for a day.
Yeah. He's watching them bumble all over the place and fall into each other when he sees Kimberly.
Yep.
She kicks the ball towards him.
She does.
He's running after the ball.
Yep.
And it's Baywatch all of a sudden.
Oh, my God.
It's yeah.
Yeah.
So
now, at 14,
yep.
Daydreaming at 14.
I totally identify with what was going
that's
on.
That's not the argument
but
here.
But, like, I mean, like, his daydream went a little far.
The way the movie portrayed it, however.
The movie, however, was like, let's show you his daydream.
Yeah.
Like, and you're just like, I am uncomfortable.
So this girl, this supposedly 14-year-old girl is
probably
suddenly
actually 14 years old.
I would say she's probably older than 14.
I believe she was 16 when they filmed.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, she is not 18.
We're getting Romeo over here. So, I don't even know what's talking about.
Even he doesn't know.
I don't know.
Continue, Rob.
So, this supposedly 14-year-old middle school girl.
Middle school, yes. Middle school.
Is suddenly in...
Underwear?
Underwear of some kind.
I'd want to call that a bikini, but that was
just...
Yeah.
Maybe a sports bra?
Underwear?
No. Definitely not a sports bra. Like, too much movement.
You know, I don't want to think about it enough.
Yeah.
Like,
underwear. That's fair.
Underwear, yeah.
They put a 14-year-old in underwear in the kids' movie.
I know you don't want to think about it, but it was like a long scene.
A long time, yeah. Like, and it's burned in my retinas.
Yeah, like I was holding my notebook up over my face.
It was also weird because I felt like the pants like were big and covered a lot, but not in the right areas.
I don't know what that even means.
I know what he's trying to say.
They went up to her belly button, but like
I'm straight
that way.
I'm trying not to critique the outfit.
Yeah, well,
so it goes from she's in her underwear running towards him. They're are they at the beach next?
I think they're running for a plane.
Oh, they're running for a plane.
Yeah,
they're on a date somewhere.
At best, she's in like a skimpy dress.
The whole time.
Yeah,
even when she's getting married,
they're getting married. I'm like, dude, what the fuck?
And even then, it's like a little skirt and a low cut. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, dress, and I'm like, it's
the tiniest thing ever. Also, side note, he is rejected from any possibility of the Fat Chat Hall of Fame because in his dream he orders plain hamburgers. Yeah. Fuck this kid. There's not even cheese on that shit.
When I was a little kid, I only ate plain hamburgers.
Seriously?
But I would have ate a whole bunch of them.
I mean, like, that changed when I hit like 9 or 10. That changed.
But he's 12.
Plain hamburgers.
So this kid's old enough to get boners. He needs to understand that hamburgers.
this is his dream. This is his fantasy, and that's what he came up with.
At a cookout to this day, cookout burger off the grill, bun, nothing else. Like,
see, I'll get it the same way, but like I'll at least have cheese on it. Like I won't put condiments, but I get cheese.
I'll
use the condiments.
But my point is, even if you were eating that all the time, was that like your ideal food?
Plain burger, yeah. Well,
like, you take that over anything else?
It was always lasagna, always. But
okay.
Like,
when I was in the single digits, though, plain burgers.
Yeah, plain burgers. I
would eat plain burgers all the time, but like that wasn't like if I had a fantasy about eating one meal, that would not be it.
Right, 12 burgers at a barbecue one time. Like, I was hurting so bad afterwards, but like, I didn't.
I miss the days where you could attempt stuff like that. I mean, I could do it today, but that's a wrap on the week.
Yeah, no.
I am calling out tomorrow.
Yeah, you might as well just take me to the hospital afterwards.
So, all right, I got a confession, mate.
Yeah.
I may have done something real stupid today.
You sure did. Is it coming back right now?
Taco Bell?
Yes.
Okay.
And
Wendy's.
And Wendy's.
Wow.
Together.
With.
I got a Frosty.
Your poor anus.
Your poor wife / bathroom. That's
assuming it makes it there before he pukes.
So
I'm sorry.
It'll fire its way out the other end, Joe.
Wife and bathroom.
Actually, with the chemicals he's got mixing in there, it might make its own exit.
So I want to give a Fat Chat shout out to Carolina for the bad idea.
Oh,
that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
It wasn't that much food. I got just a little bit at each.
Okay.
I really wanted fries.
Still. Yep.
And I wanted.
You want a Frosty. The point is.
You don't want a Frosty. You just get one because it's there.
Yeah.
There are times when I want some sort of ice cream like dessert and I have to settle for a Frosty.
You know what? Frosty's not bad. Let's not go.
It's bad, but it's never been someone's first choice.
No, but like I can't drink like any of the soft drinks there.
Right.
So like it's that or water. And I have water here. I'm not paying extra money for water.
Yeah, you can't drink a Frosty either.
Eventually, it's a hot day. Yeah.
I waited. I waited till, you know.
The overall point here is if at some point you just hear screaming from Rob and we don't hear from him again, you now know why.
It's because I got
diarrhea.
Cheesy gordita crunch. Mm-hmm. Dorito version because it's delicious.
I didn't know you can do that.
I'm
doing that from now on.
And it's better because when you do the Dorito version, most of the time they have to make it fresh.
Okay.
Because it's not a normal thing. I got the naked chicken chalupa.
Not bad.
You got the spicy one.
Yeah, it's not bad.
You got that one. And then I got a double cheeseburger and some fries and a Frosty. And I ate it slow. I took my time. So,
So the point is, the outfit this woman is wearing.
Listen, we tried so long to not talk about this 15-year-old.
I got past it. Joe's back to it.
We had to pull back from Rob's fantasy to go back to his fantasy, but it's over now.
Okay.
The point is, he's fantasizing about this girl.
So the daydream, it's totally inappropriate. You're like, what the fuck did I just watch?
Yeah, like, I don't.
We all feel uncomfortable and just Like, we need a shower.
But in all fairness, the movie is not for us today. It was for us then.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, again, is it?
I mean.
Well, like, so.
And our irresponsible parents who let us watch
a
movie.
Mostly
that. Right,
but those.
Again, I respected the intent, but, like, the execution was horrible.
Here's another thing. That one of my things from research said that they were having trouble marketing this movie because Rodney Dangerfield was known for his raunchy humor.
Right.
And so it's like, you know, how do we market a kid's movie with Rodney Dangerfield when he's known for being so crude?
Why did we put Rodney Dangerfield in a kid's movie?
And all these horrible jokes about molestation, masturbation, all like, oh, Jesus. All right.
So the kids swear.
Yeah,
get swear.
There were no fucks, but there's a lot of shit and ass and stuff.
Not till the end.
All
right, I guess.
So but anyway, like, all happen at the end. Like,
no, because like we said, right off the bat, that guy's like, you look like a huge asshole.
Yep.
Well, that was like, I guess it caps the movie. So at the beginning, there was that. And then it's pretty super. Yeah. Like,
we have a lull from the swear words when we're watching this underage girl in her
underwear.
Yeah, it's
just straight up pedophilia down the center. But you know, then it's back to swear.
It's a lot more innuendo instead of straight up raunchy talk.
So basically, like, he has Matthew tell him a bit of feedback about, you know, what he would do to make the team better. And then he's like, if I were playing, and Rodney Dangerfield gives him a face.
Hold on. They're in his van at this point.
In his van, yes. Right next to each other.
And it doesn't show Jonathan Brandis at this point. Mm. It's just Rodney Dangerfield's face.
This,
go on.
This face that he gives him, it's not just a face that you shouldn't give a child. Like, this is, no human being should ever be subject to the face that he gives Jonathan Brandis.
If I may.
Are you Tina right now? Is that what that was?
Yes.
Tina?
It was straight up like a Tex Avery cartoon, like a wolf seeing a hot girl go by.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, Dangerfield's eyes are kind of always bugging out of his head.
He undressed and redressed Jonathan
really
did with his eyes.
He was straight up staring at his 14-year-old dick.
He was one step away from going full-on Large Marge on this kid.
Yeah. Very genuine acting from Jonathan Brandis. He's just like, no.
Not going to happen. But sure enough, we put him in a... What seems... It's a cutaway, so we thought, we're like, is this later that day? What time is this? But we're now at the next soccer match, and Jonathan Brandis is there, just in a wig. Just
being Jonathan Brandis.
Yeah, not in a voice, doing anything.
No high-pitched voice, no nothing. It's just...
Just he's in a wig.
Shoulders.
Yeah.
Same guy who that girl saw a minute ago. Like... Same guy that girl goes to school with. Yes, class with probably.
Yep.
Like, no voice, nothing.
Thank God she apparently didn't pay any attention to him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's just on the team now.
I think I even said, I'm like, dude, if this girl doesn't recognize you in the wig, she's stupid.
Yep.
Don't even date her. Don't even date her. It's not even like be mad about that. Like,
because God knows what else she's gonna fall for if that works.
That's when you find out she was blind the whole time.
That would make more sense.
No, it wouldn't, because you would recognize his voice.
To be fair, his own mother didn't, so. Yeah.
Well. Right.
No, his mom knew him immediately when she finally saw him.
When she saw him, yeah.
When she saw him in a wig, but when he called on the phone as Martha, she was like.
He obviously made a voice. The voice he made when he was like, oh.
He heard his voice.
This is Featherbottom.
I fairly
voice.
Regularly Craig call my mom. She does have trouble recognizing my voice.
Oh my God.
You're an asshole.
Yeah, really.
But she keeps falling for it.
Your mom's a sweetheart. Leave your mom alone.
How does she not have caller ID?
She does.
Oh, come on. All right, everybody.
You leave your mom alone.
You look for Joe's Jerky Boys CD later this year.
That's just wrong.
On a blanket on a street corner near you.
Guys, bottom line. He's good, but he's not a team player.
Yeah, he's a ball hog.
The team still loses. And then afterwards, you know, Rodney Dangerfield's like, yeah, you got to act like a lady more. Because I know how ladies act. And he says, like, all these things that are, like, tropes we've kind of abandoned now. Yeah. But in 1992, I guess we're still not appropriate, but, you know.
Well, yeah, just, yeah. You know, well, I guess it depends on what you want to term a lady, but, like, you know, you can't swear. He does also, like, he says a lot of shit, which, like, what the hell? Apparently, during the game at one point, he slapped a girl on the ass and said, called her hot stuff,
mm-hmm.
or something to that effect.
Yeah. Oh.
Like,
it's like, you don't give the other team's coach the finger. You don't say, I got a pee so bad I could taste it.
Now, hold on. Hold on a second. The coach we see later on in the movie, that coach, I get the finger to all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But that coach was mean. Yeah. I don't like her. She was a piece of shit.
Most of the coaches we saw.
The coach of the Beavers?
Yeah. She was a piece of shit. Fuck her.
Well, speaking of large marge.
The coach of the Flames, too. I would have given him the finger.
Yeah. Too.
Yeah. I would have given him the finger as I was getting in my car and driving away. Right,
from away.
Really far away. that dude was fucking nuts.
He might shoot you, chop you up or something like that.
These days, he'd just have an AR-15 at the game and would just shoot.
Yes.
All right. But, yeah, weirdly, I think this is supposed to be, like, some kind of parallel. Like, he's, you know, learning to behave more in school or whatever because he's got to behave more here. But it is just Ronnie Dangerfield being like, you need to be more woman-like for my weird scheme I'm pulling. Like, what the hell is this?
I like to think of it as, hey, kid, stop being a dick.
Well, yes. I mean, that's an underlining thing, but you're just listening to him say, like, you need to be more of a woman to his potential stepson. Rather like, than, what is happening right now?
Stop being a dick. It's like, stop being, like, a typical guy.
Here's the thing.
Like, it makes that association for you.
But this 14-year-old agreed to dress in drag.
Mm-hmm.
Way too easily.
That happened off screen.
Yeah.
Like, that happened via jump cut.
I'm saying.
So, are we implying that he was forced at some point, or?
Or just he wanted to.
Like, I think he wanted to try to get close to Kim.
That's not how you do that.
See, however, no, because in the 80s, we had TV shows that said us what you do. There were other movies that said us what you do.
Yeah, they're all wrong. They're all wrong.
That was a common theme.
So, you guys at home can't see. I'll explain this to you all. But everybody at this table, raise their hand if they've done something real stupid and demeaning to impress a girl.
Well, everyone has.
All our hands are raised. Yeah.
You need to be raising your hand.
I raised my hand.
All right, that was half-hearted.
Yeah, because I don't give a shit.
He's like, because you already know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
Why the fuck you ask the question you know the answer to already?
To be fair, though,
still doing it.
I've still never put on a dress and a wig.
Ever?
Ever?
Not to impress a woman.
Oh, okay, all right.
Because I have.
Did it impress her?
Not enough.
Okay.
She was like, stop stretching all my clothes.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll get to some of that later, too.
Actually, at the time, I was probably skinnier than she was.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, this movie, though, because it's like Ronnie Dangerfield can't do any wrong, because he's about to try to confess. Well, first off, Matthew quits. Matthew's like, I'm done with this bullshit. I'm out. And then, so now, Ronnie Dangerfield's about to come to his fiance Tess and be like, yo, I'm, didn't get that promotion. To best, yeah. And then
thankfully, he starts babbling again.
The mom from Mr. Belvedere.
And Matt just comes in with a save, and he realizes he's like, okay, you do love my mom. I'm going to dress and drag.
I just want to take a minute and point out the chemistry between Dangerfield and his wife in this movie, Bess.
His betrothed.
Like, you can see on her face that she has no desire for him to touch her
at all.
Like, she's trying to act like she loves him.
It was like a prison visitation room.
Like, you can tell, like, scenes where he should kiss her hello. It's some person you love each other, you know, he's give her a kiss. Yeah. Like, she moves her head away from him. Like the actress does not want Dangerfield to touch her. You can tell.
They have the most lovey-dovey scenes while still keeping room for Jesus in the middle.
Well, but he's just grabbing on her like a gorilla.
Oh, yeah.
At one point, I'm like, her contract says to get one kiss. And pick where it happens in the movie. So they get one.
They filmed that scene first.
And we speculated on this with stuff like in the kitchen. I noticed At one point, he comes in and he kisses her, but they're standing in such a way where he's clearly like he could be nowhere near her and just make a smooch sound and you wouldn't know the difference.
It's from behind him, so you can't really see how close the faces really are, but it looks like he's not near her.
Later, standing in the same spot, so he puts his hand out and it looks like he's holding her like she's all small.
So now we need to get board. He's on board, so we need to get Matthew. Sorry, you know we need to get Matthew addressed.
You really like my mom, so I'm going to go ahead and lose all credibility for the next 4 years of my life.
I'm going to fully agree to wear a wig and a dress so that I can play soccer and get next to the girl that I love.
Yeah.
Makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're going to buy him a dress.
Yeah.
So we go to the store.
Holy crap, 90s clothes.
Yes. Yeah. But also, they enter as him as a boy.
It's not even like 90s clothes at that point. It looks like freaking Little House on the Prairie clothes. Like
that's what they get.
Yeah, that's...
But some of the clothes in that shop.
True.
Even the ones they get them, they have that, you know, 90s
Rugrats
flair to them.
Rugrats look.
Yeah. He enters as a boy, and they're like, oh, well, he has a twin sister who want to get her a dress, so I'm just going to put it on him and see how it looks. It's like,
what? I don't know how it was in 1992, but these days, like, if you're doing that in my store, I got to call the cops. you can't do that.
What, do you mean the part where he follows him into the dressing room?
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
That's a, you know...
It's a bit of a red flag. Code
Adam. It's retail lingo for
Well,
that's when a child's been abducted in the store. But
you open the curtain and Chris Hansen's just standing there.
Yeah.
Like what place I worked? It was Abel. Was the handle for
Abel?
But like
the point is, there would be a guard standing outside this dressing room at some point.
Abel's about to get caned.
So there's this other like mother daughter combo that's sitting outside. While you're listening to these two, I mean, it's just a straight like.
There's nothing straight about it, John.
No, well, exactly. Yeah, it's implied gay sex noises.
Outside, they think it's a guy in there with a girl.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he was just using his normal guy voice. I don't.
He
I don't,
was. Yeah. But he was wearing. So
maybe it wasn't gay, but it was homosexual. I mean, it was pedophilia.
It was terribly awkward, regardless. And
so he comes out wearing a dress and the wig, which they brought the wig. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm like, why don't you just fucking put the wig? Go in with the wig. Like, what?
Yeah.
Why even bother?
Not that it would have made this situation any better.
True. Very true.
Yeah.
So it would have been inappropriate and awkward.
Yeah, because there's a lot of comments about like, don't tell your mother, and you know.
Well, it would have been better because. The whole thing in the dressing room is because he was putting the wig on him.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot. It was more the wig
because apparently
than the dress.
This kid can't put a wig on himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
14-year-old boy can't put a wig on his head.
I mean, that's unusual behavior if you aren't with wigs all the time.
He's just not going to do it unless Rodney Dangerfield forces it on his head.
I didn't wear my first wig until I was like 15.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't think I wore a wig until I was in my 20s.
Yeah, but look, you grew into it. It's beautiful now.
Right? Now I have all kinds of wigs.
I like it. I don't know why you keep wearing the blonde. Like, you're not fooling anybody.
Well, I know, but I just you know, I feel pretty.
Yeah.
You look pretty.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You got nice lips.
I mean, it's a bit much, but I mean, I know. But, like, you know, thank you.
He didn't need to hear that part right now.
Yeah, you know.
Can I offer you a sausage?
I am hungry.
Okay. So... Basically, yeah, we get more pedophilia jokes. The conservative looking mother daughter combo. The mom just passes out.
She falls hard too. Yeah.
I know it's for the movie, but like, why would she be like police?
Yeah,
there's a man in the restroom with an underage girl. Like, we like not
especially because it's Rodney Dangerfield, which you know Rodney Dangerfield. We all love him, whatever, but. When that a guy like that, you hear him making these kind of comments, and then he comes out of the dressing room and goes like, "Oh, what a cute little girl you have! What's her name?"
Well, like, at least if not like you know, police, whatever. Like, at least like, hey, what are you doing in there? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it could be a for real father helping his daughter out, whatever. You know,
yeah.
Before, like, so what are you doing in there?
So Also, there was one part we skipped over, just a dick move on Dangerfield's part where he's just standing there with like half his chest hanging out. Just takes two balloons, shoves them in down his shirt, gives himself like not at all convincing balloon tits, and then he's just like, pop, pop. It's like, where'd you get those balloons? Those yours? You just
took them.
You know, fucking around with this store.
This girl's clothing store.
No repercussions.
Yeah, he can.
Yeah. But this girl's clothing store had like a bin of moderately sized half blown up balloons for no reason. And yeah, he just stuffs them in his shirt and then pops them without paying for anything. Cause
so the girls can play dress up.
I guess.
Oh no. This movie.
Yeah. All right. So anyway.
Like, they couldn't make this movie now.
Yeah.
Like,
no. Absolutely not.
His whole style doesn't work anymore. Like it has
not aged well.
Are too aware of like how awful, awful.
Speaking of awful, so now, Matthew has to pee. So they go to the public restroom. He can't hold it. He's got to go. So he sends him into the women's room in like North Carolina's worst nightmare. There's a giant drag in there. And so now
we weren't getting political, but all right.
Yeah, they legit had love.
I know.
So this asshole sends an old woman into the men's room with two men.
After he saw two guys go in.
Yeah, after he knew it was loaded in there. And then, like, rather than a ladies' room where everything would be happening in stalls anyway, so she would be the wiser.
I don't know.
Like, you don't know how to sit down and pee? Like,
yeah.
I get it's not the norm, but if you don't like,
well, again, even if you're standing up, like you're still in a stall, so you can kind of fake it. Yeah. I mean,
this lady's not going
to. He'll be standing in an awkward position for a woman to be trying to pee, but I'm sure some have done it.
I'm not trying to say I know how ladies use the restroom, but I doubt she would see like one. She would care about one set of feet, what direction it's facing. She'd just be like, "Okay, stall. I'm going in. I'm peeing."
Yeah,
I'm
done. Right.
Anyway,
might think somebody's doing the hover squat. You know?
Yeah.
So instead, he sends his little old woman in the men's room, where she immediately freaks out at something.
And he makes an inappropriate joke, and then it's Dangerfield.
So now we go on to the game against the Beavers, where he has a talk with his boss, and his boss is like, "I like what you're doing here. I like this Martha girl." He's like, "You keep this up, you know, I'll make sure you have 10 men under you." And he's like, "Hey, can they be women?"
Just Dangerfield.
Yeah,
yeah,
and like.
For the kids.
Like, you're just saying it along with him at this point because it's so predictable. You meet the coach of the Beavers, and she is horrible.
Yep. I know I already brought up Large Marge once, but here she is again. Yeah. Here she is again. And she immediately is just like the most hateful person
ever. She's just a jerk. She's just a mean jerk.
So I was watching this movie with four people. At this point, two of them got up and said, "We're going home." And just left.
They
made it that long?
They made it that long.
Wow.
Brick was one of them, and he's like, "I'm sorry, Joe, but I don't have to be here.
So I won't. Have
better things I can do with my time."
Yep.
He was lying.
That's debatable.
There's a lot of things that are better uses of your time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what he's going to do.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So,
regardless,
Borderlands.
Regardless,
I mean, that is
arguably
regardless.
Better, yes, but
all right. So now, Martha's changed. She changed some positions around, changed the lineup around. Suddenly, everyone's doing great.
Yeah, yeah.
Martha's, you know, she's coaching everybody up
except one person.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. Kim.
So she put butterflies on the ball, so now suddenly Chu's like amazing.
Yep.
Because she's watching the ball now.
Yeah.
She's paying attention to that ball.
She gives Penny the life changing advice of open your eyes and look at the ball.
Weird how that works.
Yeah.
Where does Coach later. Chester? Okay, all right.
Later. So we start winning. We start doing well. We skipped over this woman with the Beavers. Like, "You've lost the past two games. You're going to lose this one, too." It's like, okay, yeah, track record says you're probably right. Mm-hmm. But whatever. They, in fact, win against them. So everybody's happy. All is going well.
Well, the coach
What's that?
Sorry, just went, went from what she said to the game's over. Like,
yeah. Because what we, besides what we've already mentioned, what in the game mattered?
No, yeah, nothing. Whatever. Like, it just threw me. Like, all
right, so needless to say, he declines giving her a hug, even though everybody else is getting hugs.
He hugs the wife of his boss.
A lot.
About seven times. Mm-hmm. They made a point to keep showing him going in for hugs. Yeah. And he's like being super inappropriate. He's like grinding on her and shit. It's like, whoa, dude.
Which, again, if I were Matthew at this point, I'd be like, fuck you, dude. I'm trying to help you out with my mom. Quit this shit out.
Like, man.
But is this not where the Mullins tell the coach to take Kim out of the game?
No, that's much later on.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I don't know.
Yeah, but now the Mullins decide we're going to celebrate in the best way we know how.
Oh, that's right.
We're going to take them back to our big-ass house and leave them unsupervised.
Yeah. Correct.
Well, tell them to go skinny dipping.
Like, what the?
And they can't leave till their parents come to get them.
Yeah. So,
oh my God.
Funny, like, that actually, like, have you make sure your parents come get you? Like,
yeah.
That, yeah, that makes sense.
It's 1992. By this point, you don't just take your kids somewhere and leave them unsupervised. It ain't the 80s anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, mom's a little busy with the racquetball instructor or volleyball instructor, whatever the hell he was. God knows where dad is.
The house is so big, they have an indoor volleyball court.
Yep.
In the house, like, what the fuck?
Apparently miles away from the pool, wherever the hell that is.
And so, yeah, the 12-year-old girls are like, let's go skinny dipping. I mean, I've never been a 12-year-old girl, but I would imagine that's not really...
I mean, is that a thing?
What you
like,
do?
Ladies, the three of you who listen, is that Megan listens, Stacey listens?
Yeah, I'm not arguing.
I was like hoping to be a third one. I couldn't remember.
Elizabeth might listen.
Listen. That's true. That's true. Listen.
Guys, like, you gotta stop.
Does that happen? Do 12-year-old girls do that? Like, is that real?
Yeah. Have you ever just gotten together and been like, we need to go skinny dipping?
Because if so, never mind. You know what?
So I'll tell you for damn sure that never happened with 12-year-old boys.
No.
Hell no.
No.
Mm-mm. Maybe if some of those girls were around, but.
That's different.
Yeah.
Nope, not in my house. I'd have been like, we're playing sports. Like,
we'd have video games. And what I like to call fully clothes dipping.
Mm-hmm.
Where you just jump into the pool with all of your clothes on.
I might change into a bathing suit, but like the t-shirt I was wearing was still on.
T-shirt staying on.
Yeah.
Nobody's seeing my tits.
Nope.
But yeah, I mean.
I wasn't always fat.
I mean in general, not like specifically the losers that are sitting at this table, because.
When I wasn't fat, I was so skinny that it hurt you to look at. Like, you could see all my bones and stuff.
Yeah, I had ribs and stuff.
It was and then, like, it went from that to, like, freshman year of college. It was just like, pooh!
That deep, though.
Around that time when I realized I could eat as many mashed potatoes as I want. At the time.
Slamming down those BK double cheeseburgers.
So, Martha has to call the coach.
Martha?
And be like, I need my parent to come pick me up so I can get out of this.
Oh, killed it.
Because if we go skinny dipping, they're going to realize I'm a little different.
Just a little.
Just very little. So little.
Wow. That's terrible. But so he calls his mom, which apparently does not realize it's him, as he mentioned.
He calls coach. Mom answers the phone.
Well, the mom answers, yeah.
The car phone.
The car phone, yeah. Because he told him, he's like, hey, like, I called you because they want my parents to pick me up, and I can call my mother and ask her to come get me, but then she'll know your whole game. So stop being a dick, figure something the fuck out, come get me.
So he comes up with a brilliant plan, doesn't he?
Oh, it's an amazing plan. He goes to his wardrobe, pulls out a dress and a veil.
Where did he find this dress?
He obviously had it for some other scheme he had.
Or he stopped somewhere along the way to buy it.
He probably did that, yeah.
What the fuck?
He probably stopped at Bradley's or some similar Caldor, one of those places that was open back then, and was like, get me a muumuu.
But couldn't he just be like, hey, I'm the coach, I'm supposed to pick him up?
No, it's not a parent.
Told me. Yeah, I don't know. Or just say it's your kid. What the fuck? Whatever. I don't know. So, he you know, rescues him from...
He had the dress already for one of his other scenes.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But, he's certainly using... He's checking this Mrs. Millens out. She bends down, picks something up, and he's all...
Yeah, he's being himself.
Yeah,
he's being
gross the whole time.
Again, kids movie.
Is it, though?
No, it's not.
It's definitely not.
Well, that's
not
the problem. It is and it isn't.
This is a kids movie for, like, that dad, like, that wanted to bond with his kid for the first time ever. And I was like, let me find a movie I can take my shitty kid to.
This is a kid's movie for Rodney Dangerfield's kid.
Yeah. Like it, so the dad's like, oh, Dangerfield. Oh, I like that guy. Yeah. And
then, hey, oh, hey.
Then he stares at his kid all weird, and the kid's just like, no, no, no. And then jump cut to the movie theater.
Yeah, like, that was where the $14 million came from.
For any of those father son pairings that could go and be like, hey, check out that girl's ass, it's pretty sweet, right? Then this is the movie for you, I guess.
But it wasn't sweet.
Well, I know, but anyway, bitter ass. Speaking of sweet, we have a very touching moment where Rodney Dangerfield has to tell Penny that she is just as beautiful as the other girls.
And by touching, you mean inappropriate touching?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, this is the trope of like take a girl's hair down.
And
now she's cute. Like, yeah. It's that.
We could just pry those braces off. You'd be all set. Mm-hmm. Like, no, thankfully he doesn't say that. But
no. But he's sitting alone with this girl, and he's like, "Hey, I never seen you with your hair down before."
If I was younger, I would totally ask you out. And I'm like, stop. Like,
you get it.
Like, think about how this conversation would sound if she was telling her mom about it.
Right. Like, you couldn't have this scene between Martha and her. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, what is your
hair? Another girl on the team?
Right. Why don't you take your hair down? Like, actually humanize some of the other characters on the team. Like, pick out some of the, you know, the beiges and browns of the team.
The team was diverse.
There was
one black girl. There was one girl of Asian descent. There was one girl who was kind of brown. I'm not sure what she was, but like, she was brown.
Mocha-ish. Yeah.
One girl with dark hair.
One girl had dark hair. It was nine blonde girls.
Like, have one of the non-blondes.
It was 1992 diverse.
Yeah, all right. Have somebody.
It's enough to be a commercial for something.
Yeah.
But, the problem here is I think we're trying to humanize Rodney Dangerfield more.
But you can't.
But yeah, it's Rodney Dangerfield. He was just staring at this woman's ass. It's not a good fit. So again, it comes off more like the joke you did earlier where he's trying to help him get in the wig and we think he's molesting someone.
And don't get me wrong, you can have a scene where a man is telling a 12-year-old girl that she's beautiful and it can be portrayed correctly.
Right, but not immediately. Not
this way.
Not immediately after it shows that he objectifies women.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I need you to be pretty so I can oogle you.
Again, like, the intent of the scene was fine. The execution
was awful.
Not this man, not this way. That's basically what it comes down to. But yeah, now is when we tell Kim she can't play anymore.
We got to go through a whole winning streak set to Rodney Dangerfield and Jack A singing.
Oh, right. Well,
what song was it again? Great Balls of Fire.
Great Balls of Fire.
Goodness gracious. Great Balls of Fire.
It goes about as well as you think it would.
I mean, isn't that song written by an adult who's dating an underage girl?
Yes, it is.
Cousin? Yes, it is.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
Not correct.
You get a lot of that.
I don't know if that was their intent when they put it in, but yes, that is their... Which, by the way, is anybody watching when he's actually singing and he's driving in this car? Because his hand is just all over the place. Like, they would have veered off the road like 12 times.
It reminds me, like, whenever you see people in the audience in the background of this, like, they're doing these same, like, generic cheers. And it doesn't matter what time of the game it is. Because, like, they were doing it before, like, play started. Like, during the national anthem. Like, they're always just doing... It's like the guys in Street Fighter 2 that are always, like, that one guy in Russia that's always drinking the bottle. Yeah.
It's like when you played Double Dribble back in the day. Oh, no, FIFA, we'll keep it soccer. Yep. You're playing FIFA, and the crowd is just a crowd. It's always doing the same thing all the time.
Yeah. Like, they only get two frames of animation.
All I can think of is that in Turtles Tournament Fighter when Baxter Stockman the Fly keeps getting a little boner. Anyone remember that?
Nope.
Nope.
Okay.
No, all right. That's fine.
One interesting thing, though, I did see the other day. It's off topic, but I didn't never realize Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, the Nintendo version.
Uh-huh.
All of the tells for all of the moves relate to a person in the crowd. So actually, you can play that game without ever looking at the boxer you're fighting. And you just know with when this person moves, this is happening. You can learn it for each fighter and, like, you know, beat them flawlessly just based off of what the crowd's doing.
Wow.
All right. If you guys want to learn all of those tells, just go to our Patreon page and become a patron. Joe will personally make a recording.
I have told you everything I know about the subject.
Joe, you just ruined it.
If you pay me, though, I will find out more.
Yeah, Joe.
16 candles.
Joe, did we not?
3 more years.
Did we not just cover this? You lie about it until it happens.
Oh, that's right. No.
You fake your way through it.
No, there's tons more. Yeah. Send me $20 and a picture of you in drag.
Well, this just got really weird.
All right. Well, hey.
Or did it?
Yeah. Okay, but now, yeah. Now,
can you hold my camera?
Kimberly, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tony.
No, just, Kimberly just shows up at Matthew's house because that's what you do.
How'd you even know where he lived?
Before that, though,
she was told.
That's where she gets benched. Because she just kicks the ball right out of the stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mentioned that when you diverged us with Great Balls of Fire.
But I wasn't paying.
Well, she got benched because her dad wanted her benched.
Yeah. Oh, right. I guess that's important.
That is important.
Yes.
Because her dad was like, I want to win. My daughter sucks. So take her out. Mm. Then he feels like, yo, you can't do that. She'll be all embarrassed and stuff. Like, what's all about playing? This where his heart starts to grow a size bigger, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's like, I mean, my job's more important to me right now, so I'm gonna do it, but I don't wanna. But I'm gonna do it because that's my job.
I'm gonna do it. I'm starting to feel bad about doing these terrible things.
I don't wanna.
So at this point, he's kind of like that class A goon to the villain that, you know, does things, but every once in a while is like, hey, boss, do you think we should really do that? That's about the morality level he's at right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah, Kimberly shows up at Matthew's house. And he's like, what the fuck? How does she know? Let me quick run downstairs, throw on my dress and my wig.
In every cross-dressing movie, you got to have this scene where you're changing costumes quickly.
It is the wacky quick change montage scene.
Why she has to be in a dress and can't just be in like
clothes?
A t-shirt.
Yeah, just normal clothes.
Yeah, just put the wig on.
Yep.
It's a lot easier.
I'm sorry, but like, again, if this girl can't tell that it's fucking a dude, like, if there's a dude she has class with, she's at school every day, in a shitty wig.
Also, like, apparently wears the same dress every day?
Just
apparently?
One step writing, like, she needs glasses. That's why she sucks at soccer. Roddy Dangerfield finds out she gets glasses, and that's why she couldn't tell that Matthew and Martha are the same person.
Okay.
That would have been fine.
All right. Sure.
But no, because that wouldn't make her pretty, so...
You're right.
Yeah, we can't uglify girls.
Yeah,
no. 80s logic.
Girls in glasses, man.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
It's ugly.
Just the worst.
The worst.
I wonder if that was part
Sharon.
Of
the...
If you're a woman speaking and you wear glasses out there, shame on you.
I was wondering if that was part of the script prior. But they were just like, no, we can't make her that ugly. Just take that part out.
Not inviting you to my skinny dipping party.
But the rest of this doesn't make sense. Shut up. Just take it out.
That's a lie. You're still invited.
Yeah, so we get a whole thing of him running back and forth. He's changing because she wants to watch TV with Martha, her best friend. But Rodney Dangerfield,
she has
mom
no friends.
She Correct. Has
no friends.
And you know what? I have a feeling she knew the whole time that it was this kid.
You know what?
That would be, it's her that only
I wish
friend.
I had said that.
Yeah,
it's her only friend. So she is just rolling with it.
I didn't put that in. I would have been okay.
I mean, how do you not know?
You know what? Well, again, we were not at a point where we could get away with doing this kind of stuff, but she should have just been like, listen, it's just you and me here. I know what's up. Like, I'm cool with it. You don't need to hide, whatever. But
they could have done it. They could have been like, because she's her father's daughter, could have been like, yeah, I knew it was you. I want to win too. Like, I kind of like you.
You can't do that, or she'd be like, I should be off the team. I am terrible.
But
we get the obligatory, it's like, oh, is this a drag race joke?
Yeah, legit, that's what he says. Like,
yeah, I am surprised he doesn't look straight into the camera every time.
Tootsie and Miss Doubtfire, this is not.
Not even close.
So, yeah. He finally, he's just bullshitting her. He's like, I'm going to get Cokes, but he never gets Cokes. And then he's like, we're out of Cokes. Let's go get them. Actually, let's not go get them. You just leave now.
Hold on. We're missing some things. Because during that, his mother and Cokes come home. And that's where the Cokes went. Like, it's the whole, like.
A convoluted series
of events. Yeah, a whole bunch of events happened.
I think Tony was just trying to skip.
Finally, he's like, let's get out. Let's get out of the house.
A series of unfortunately paced events.
Yes. But yeah, so he gets her to leave. He's about to run back and change again, but his mother catches him, and she's like, what the fuck is happening here?
This is about the only, like, real part of the movie. She's just like, what the fuck? Get out of my house.
Yeah.
You go to your room.
Yeah, you are grounded for, like, ever, and you are a dirty pervert man. I never want to see you again. And she's straight up right. She's, it's one thing to lie to your team or your boss or whatever, but you've been lying to me and you've perverting my son with this, this nonsense and whatever. Like, you're a bad person. I don't want to see you anymore. And she's totally right, but it just gets washed away later.
They couldn't be bothered to do something like take a risk by saying, like, maybe, he's starting to discover some, like, his gender identity might not have been what they thought it was, and maybe, like...
Not in 1992.
Nope.
Yeah, we knew nothing about that stuff.
Yeah, so there's no chance to play it like that or anything. It's just, nope, you put my son in a dress. You're horrible.
And if, like, even if they did it today, it would be like Sundance Film Festival. It wouldn't be Rodney Dangerfield.
Exactly. No, you would not be the person today... Land work.
Definitely.
The equivalent of Rodney Dangerfield.
I don't know if that stare would have been any creepier if he did it today.
Yeah. Okay. You're right, though. It would be the stare would probably be just the same level of creepiness.
But anyway, so yeah.
But there'd be violin music behind it.
So he's kicked out. He's got to go back and tell the team, like, hey.
He's got to tell a bartender his problems first.
Oh, right. God damn it.
Like, it's all about the phrasing.
Yeah.
Bartender's, he seems all down and stuff. And then bartender's like, hey, sometimes you get off your chest, you'll feel better. And so instead of, like, telling him a story where, like, I got to put the soccer team, you want to win. So my fiance's son's in the soccer. I dress him up, whatever, play soccer. He goes, I dress my fiance's boy up, and he played with me. Oh, dress him up in a dress.
Yep.
And try to get him to play with me.
Immediately he's thrown on the bar. Like, you get the fuck out, you pedophile. Which is true.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of my bar.
I mean, it's one of the ones where they were like, let's just do that joke. But they never, it seems like they wrote the joke way too late.
Yeah.
And, like, forgot to make it funny.
Now, on the flip side, because, the son, Matt, is at an ice cream parlor with some weird stereotype of a wise old black man.
What?
He puts his voice on,
freaking soda jerk.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I believe we said it was Mayor Goldie from Back to the Future.
It was, yeah. It
straight up was.
Like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah, I
just cutting him off for milkshakes.
I don't know what this voice.
Some stuff some shit. Like, that's on screen. What the fuck?
Wow.
Want me to tell you a story about Br'er Rabbit?
Come on, man. Like, come on.
Sweet Lord. All right.
Now we get the big game, and they're playing against the Flames, who are coached by this, like, Vinnie Jones looking army motherfucker. I think he's just Sergeant Bull.
Yes. But Dangerfield knows his full name.
But yeah, he's got to tell the team, like, listen, Kim's not going to be here. Actually, Matthew does show up with, Martha in a bag. Because,
But, like, Dangerfield at this point, he's like, look, I want to win. I do. But, like, the girls can do this on their own. They don't really need. They don't need me. They don't. I mean, they don't need you to dress up
maybe
like that.
We shouldn't be cheating.
Kim should be here because, like, she should be here.
Right.
Which is a little side note, though. Matthew says, like, well, no, I want to be here for you because of how hard you worked to get this far. Like, didn't do anything. He did everything, and he lied.
Yeah.
He manipulated.
He worked really hard.
He finagled.
Keeping up the lie.
Yes.
Now, I like the fact that this guy's stepson in drag was like his magic tap shoes. It's like, you know, oh, you were fine the whole time. You didn't actually need this young boy in drag. It's a real Berenstain Bears book in the making, if you ask me.
Wow. Okay. So either way, like every one of the big games goes, the enemy team just comes out and just beats their ass. And sparks a barrage of profanity.
Yeah, people start swearing now. One girl's like, shit.
It also helps that the ladybugs just stand there and let the other team, like, run right past them and stuff.
The other team, by the way, being a bunch of dudes in terrible-ass wigs.
I think it was just, like, four.
Yeah, maybe only, like, four, but, like, it was so bad. And ironic that they had a bunch of guys in wigs.
I
think it's funny because the U.S. soccer teams, the women's soccer team wins all the time. So like
all the time,
all the time. That's all they do is win. So it's like, could be good female soccer players.
You would think.
They looked like wigs. Mm-hmm. They may have been girls. They may have been just leftover big ugly '80s hair. Like
Aaron. I don't think so.
Like, it's two of those boys were at the end of the movie.
Yeah, that's fair, but I don't know. Right.
So, yeah, Roddy Dangerfield refers to this as being like a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest, which I think was the first time I heard that in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was 12, so.
I don't remember the first
time. Oh, you mean the when you watched the movie the first time?
Yes, exactly. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, not when he watched it today.
Martha goes and you know, reveals himself to Kim.
He pulls the wig off.
Yeah.
He does not reveal himself to Kim.
Yeah. As we said before, phrasing is everything.
Oh, no, she does scream, oh, my God!
That's true.
It's like the scene is, he shows up to her house, she opens the door, oh, Martha, hey, come in. He goes, I have to show you something. Door closes, she goes, oh, my God!
You do see him taking off the wig as they close the door, but yeah, you don't know what happened after the door closed.
All right, so now it's halftime.
Which we can get to that in a moment, too. Put a pin in that.
Yeah.
Halftime.
Now, I don't know if it's just growing up in West Haven where we take our marching band somewhat seriously, but like,
these guys were amateurs.
That band sucked. Like, absolutely, they got the terrible. Fucking, it couldn't even be the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile. It was just the Weenie Mobile. And yeah, that was a shitty halftime show.
I mean, what rec league sport
yeah, event even has a halftime
even had a halftime show and the band playing.
I mean, fair enough. Like, I guess it's better by default, but like, I don't know. I'm used to just marching bands being better than that.
Which I also like at this point, even the movie just kind of gives up because of all the low-hanging fruit they've been grabbing. Because the Wiener Mobile shows up, and you cut to Rodney Dangerfield and Jack A, and she's like, aren't you going to say something about it? And he's like, no, let's just go home. Like, they were just like, done with it. Like, no.
All right. So now you get this horrible motivational speech from Rodney Dangerfield in front of the team where he reveals that Martha was a boy.
Yeah, which this is where he, you know, reveals to all the other girls that Martha is Matthew. We see Kimberly, and she, like, gives this sly look to the rest of them. Where it's just like, what the fuck is that about?
Because she knew.
She knew first.
Yeah, but like, they're just revealing it. Like, it shouldn't be like, I already knew. This is more, I don't know, there's something weird about it.
He does this whole thing about how, you know, women are empowered now. Go out there and win.
You can vote now. Yeah,
you can vote. You can burn, like, your bra.
The most backwards way of life.
Yeah.
What do you expect from Chester Cheetah over
true,
here?
True. Chester Lester.
Chester Lester.
We didn't get one goddamn Chester Cheetah joke in this either.
Yeah, no. But I had to make it.
Yeah.
That's sad.
I mean, I didn't want it to be there, but it should have been there.
It might as well be.
Yeah. All right. So, they just start playing again. And suddenly, the ladybugs are just better.
Jack A teaches the black girl on the team.
Yep.
She's the only one.
Just
how to talk sassy.
How to cheat.
Like,
how to cheat. Yeah.
So now she starts sassing out the other kids and scores a goal.
Yep.
Sassing and just straight up pushing.
Yeah. Well, they knew that already because they showed them fighting early in the game. That's not nothing new. They
were, oh, yeah. that was the brown girl, of course, gets ejected from the fight.
The funny thing is, like, I was expecting the whole time that was going on, I was like, oh, this is the part where the ladybugs pull this wig off this other team member, and they're like, oh, the other team.
It never happened.
Yeah. I was totally waiting for
that.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
That would have been funny if that was a way for it to backfire.
Yeah.
But anyway, so now, all right, the beauty pageant girl breaks a nail, so she flips out.
And she's like, fuck that. I'm mad now.
It's like she goes Super Saiyan, and then...
The dumbest thing here, Penny is now like, it's my turn to shine. I gotta go Super Saiyan. So she undoes her hair and takes her glasses off, which should make her so much worse at this game.
That was Becca's comment. Was she was still watching this for some reason.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Hang in there, Becca.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
She scores a goal, so now the score is tied.
I would have taken my glasses off and face planted immediately.
She wore the sport goggles. That's what I wore as a kid.
Yeah.
And like, I legit couldn't see without those. There's no way.
I would have tripped over the ball as soon as I took them off.
I remember the first time we were hanging out. Well, one of the first times we were hanging out, when you were going to my apartment and you had lost your glasses, or no, you had a pair of contacts that you wore for like forever and those had fallen out.
Yeah.
And I literally just walked up to you brandishing a stick like I was going to hit you with it. And the entire time you had no idea I was holding a stick.
No idea.
I mean, and it was like, I was real close when you were like, are you Joe?
I legit cannot see.
God. But yeah, that's the, like
a move all the way there. Huh?
taking your glass off will not help you seeing at all, and letting down her hair is just going to put hair in her face. So like, she's running around like Cousin It, knocking into things.
Sometimes you just need to feel pretty.
Yeah,
but yeah. So she scores a goal. Hooray! Like we're all
so Chu now gets into the goal and becomes the Great Wall.
That was a joke, though. That was actually a joke. Made.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I missed
he
that.
He made that joke.
Oh, yep. No.
I also like, she's like, you know, I'm ready to be a goalie again. Put me in there. And he's like, you know, make some joke about what makes you think I'm going to trust you. I don't want to go get in there or whatever. But it's like, you're just outing whoever was in there. Like, what? Fuck them, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who that was, but whatever.
I missed the subplot of her not being a good goalie. Was that even in the movie?
In the beginning, she was not a good goalie because she was looking at butterflies.
Which
could have easily just been solved by having Jonathan Brandis put the butterflies on the ball and suddenly she would want to catch it in the goal.
Right.
Which is what I thought they were going to do, but yeah.
Or he just like takes like a tennis racket and kills all the butterflies.
That one butterfly.
There. Now there's nothing but the ball.
Butterflies in the sky.
Goes on like a Skyrim style alchemy ingredient harvesting rampage. Exactly. Like, all the flowers, dragonflies, and butterflies are done.
Screw that.
Gotta get those glowing mushrooms.
I need to eat these things and see if they're poisonous.
Yeah. So then, of course, Kim shows back up, and like Kim's dad's like, "Don't you put my daughter in this game."
He's like, fuck you, I do what I want.
Yeah.
My team, it's not like, yours.
You're not the boss here. You're not my supervisor.
Well, again, we try and have, like, a real moment here, but it's just so... It's not the right person for this, because, you know, you're talking about being the best, but what's, you know, good about being the best if it brings out the worst in you? And it's just like, that is the corniest shit I have ever heard.
That's real talk. I mean, you know.
I know,
that could be delivered well.
Yeah.
Not by Rodney Dangerfield.
This is the guy that was just looking up someone's skirt a few minutes ago and shit. Like, it's not.
If I could change, could change.
Mind you, I forgot to mention, but during the delivery of all of these lines, and every scene he's in, Rodney Dangerfield is twitching about like he's on cocaine, which he very well could have been.
Yeah.
But, like, he is, the dude cannot stand still.
Yeah.
So it kind of, when he's having touching moments like this and he's just like bouncing back and forth, like
I'm always waiting for the inappropriate joke.
What's that?
I'm always waiting for the inappropriate joke with him. Like, what's he going to say to ruin this mood? Like, what's he going to say to ruin this one? Like,
exactly.
But so, to be fair, you think the same way about me.
That is accurate. Yeah.
Why keep you around? In both cases, 95% of the time, he's right.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
All right. So this ends exactly how you think it would.
Yep.
You know. Kim gets a slide tackle to the leg, and so she gets it's a free kick.
Mm.
And they have to talk her into taking it, so she does, and she boots it hard, and it goes in, and they win.
Yep.
Hooray! Yay.
And now
she overcame her issue with kicking it too hard.
And now the boss, the president of the company, is like, $1 million.
You win at everything forever.
Yeah. And that was my daughter. Yay.
Bess is like, I am not allowed to be mad at you anymore.
That's yeah, like she shows up to the game like.
Yeah, she just shows up like, you know what? Forget it. You won the game, so we're cool now.
It's cool you put my son in a dress.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
And did God knows what while I wasn't home.
Diddle or whatever. Yeah.
And then, like, it's all good. Matt and Kim are just like, oh, we have to make out now.
Yep.
Even
though Rodney Dangerfield and his fiance still really haven't.
And this is, again, like, I said while watching, like, I don't think this would work. I know this is the script, but this is not how this would work. Like, you literally have been my best girlfriend for the past however friggin' long this actually went on for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can't just start making out now. That's just weird.
Tell me why not.
Yeah, why not?
I just don't think that's how it would work.
You gotta get free with it, man.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's how Matthew would want it, but I don't think that's how she would react.
Fortunately for him, he wrote the script, so.
That's right. All right.
So, yeah, now. Well,
I do want to point out, because I said earlier, I bet her contract was for one kiss. And sure enough, it was one kiss in this entire movie.
Yep.
It happened earlier in the movie when he was trying to
distract
her from seeing her son in the wig. He just kisses her, and her body language literally was like.
She's like sandbag.
Bad touch. Bad touch.
This is gross. This is gross. All right.
Because
even after they win and stuff now. She does not kiss him. The pinnacle of happiness in this movie. She refuses to kiss him.
Crack and whiskey and menthol.
I am not allowed to be angry at you. I am, however, allowed to refuse affection with you.
My contract said one.
No. You got it earlier.
So. That was it. Right.
We can shake if you want. Maybe I'll give you a hug if you put on deodorant today.
Now, what did we learn from this movie? Not a goddamn thing.
Not because one.
He has a bus full of boys that he's taken to a woman's softball game and dressing them all up like girls.
Yeah, and I like the boss is literally just like, now that you've won the World Series and you've become the president of everything, and just like recaps the whole movie and shit.
Just the boss, he goes, "Hey, I heard that you just a boy up and put on the soccer team." And someone was like, he goes, I like that. He'll do anything to win and get ahead. Like that. You should be part of my leadership team. It's like, what the fuck? Like,
so we see they have a bus full of little boys in baseball outfits. And then they get off the bus and like, oh, it's the girls' league or whatever. It's like, come on, ladies, let's go. And they're all just in wigs. And
two of those boys look like the soccer players from the other team.
Yeah, there were at least two or three wigs from that other team before.
And the coach for the other team was like some coach, probably.
Lasorda.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, okay. Yeah, that was Lasorda, right? Yeah.
Yes. Really? Oh, that's some fast must have been working.
Well, I'm sorry. He was Cannoli.
Cannoli.
Just cause.
Yeah. All right.
Because there's one more ethnicity we could insult. Yeah. That's Ladybugs
at the very end, he finally got some respect.
Oh, right. The camera does some weird dip for some reason. Like,
and then he gets to sing another song.
And we hold on him for like 12 minutes.
Him and Jack A sing another song.
Respect. Gone. Yeah.
And it makes me actually wonder out loud if listening to Joe Pesci's My Cousin Vinny song would have been better.
It would have been.
We could test it.
I don't.
No, it's not.
No.
We don't need to. We already know.
I'm not going to debate you on it because then it like.
Just
like,
saying.
All right. So that's Ladybugs from 1992. All right. So on RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a whopping score of 14%. Audience gave this a score of 42%.
Really?
Wow. Really? That's their thoughts
times
and opinions.
Three multiplier.
Just know this would have made a fail list.
Huh. What about your personal thoughts and opinions on this, Rob?
I don't know why you would watch this. Like, there's no... It's just Rodney Dangerfield's stand-up routine with, like, a bunch of really weird, creepy, rapey nonsense in the middle. And I have no idea why anyone would watch, like, willingly watch this. No, I don't recommend it. I'm eternally grateful to William for sponsoring the episode. But man, this was a doozy.
Yeah. All right. Joe.
I'll go through the positives first. Maybe one or two Dangerfield jokes land.
That's a positive?
Including the credits, the entire movie is under 90 minutes long.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
The entire thing.
That is true.
The negatives, however, include every goddamn thing else. It was a disaster. It's not funny. It's creepy. It's just, it hasn't aged well. Like, adding, you know, almost about 20 years onto this movie, like, in 2018, it's not at all reflecting the zeitgeist of the populace now. It is just a bad movie. I can't really come up with any good way of redeeming it. So, not a recommend.
All right. Brian.
So, like, this movie made me not want to watch Back to School or those other Dangerfield movies that I remember enjoying as a kid because of how crazy Dangerfield was. Because, like, as time is going on, it's like, oh, yeah, all that shit, it's not good shit. Shouldn't be like that. That's a shitty way to be. And, yeah, Dangerfield is watching the movie, I'm like, this movie is America? Like, literally, like, I'm like, oh, you get to do whatever you want, hurt whoever you want, lie about whatever you want to do, and, like, no one holds you accountable for anything, and in the end, you win. And then, like, I'm just like, oh, I don't like it. No, I'm not watching this again. Some jokes do land, like Joe said. And given the context of the movie, if it was different, like, if it wasn't, like, kids, whatever, I bet more jokes would have landed because your mind would have been like, oh, this is appropriate for the scenes we're watching. But, like, yeah, this was a weird choice of who's in this movie for what. Yeah, it's just weird. It's a weird fucking choice. Yeah, don't watch it.
Okay.
Thanks, William.
I think in the end we will not win. But, this movie just, it could not decide what it wanted to be. Again, it's PG-13. It's not quite an R like a Rodney Dangerfield movie probably should be. It's not quite a PG that a kid's soccer movie should be. It is that weird middle ground, and none of it works out very well. Some of the jokes do land, because Rodney Dangerfield is kind of funny, but it does not age well. He is very misogynistic, and just things are just really poorly handled for this movie.
He's kind of a bad guy.
He is. He's a very bad guy, and the moral of this movie is just reprehensible and gross. I can't recommend this movie. I mean, I suppose as a seeing is believing, but no, just don't bother with it. And if you liked this as a kid, leave it in that nostalgia closet and enjoy it as that, because it's not going to be what you think.
Made me feel dirty.
Yes.
This made you feel dirty, this one?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Like, the whole, when she's running scene, I'm like, don't, like...
That's a pretty dirty scene.
Don't subject me to, like, don't make me see that, because I want to be in control of the, you know, terrible things.
I do the killing around
here. I want to tell you some what terrible things I see. I don't terrible things forced upon me. Fuck that.
All right, so... we're not recommending Ladybugs. Again, thank you for William for sponsoring this, but we can't recommend this movie. What would we recommend instead of this?
You want to know what's sad? And I've only seen parts of this movie, but there's another 90s movie where a girl dresses up as a guy to play on a soccer team, and it's a retelling of Shakespeare's Twelfth Night called She's the Man, starring Amanda Bynes.
She's the Man.
And that would be a better movie than this.
Wow. I'd rather watch Joanna Man.
Joanna Man.
I don't actually know that. I'm just throwing out there. Yeah. And I
but that, like. Just one of the guys. How about Disney's Mulan?
That's a much better call. Yeah,
that was the 80s movie with the girl that was in that went.
Yeah, she was in the football team. I believe.
It's not even
Oh, that's the one where
she was just a dude.
No, she wanted to be a reporter. They were like, "You're too pretty. You gotta be. You could be a model."
Yeah.
So she thought she could just do better if she was a guy.
Liking that movie.
Reporting on the football team, maybe.
Yeah. Watch Alive. That's a good soccer movie.
You hungry? Is that it?
Is there, no, is there a good hungry. Soccer movie? I don't know.
What is it?
Shaolin Soccer.
Shaolin Soccer. There you go. Yeah.
It was a Kung Fu Soccer. No, it's Kung Fu Hustle. Guys. Shaolin Soccer.
So we're going to recommend Shaolin Soccer.
I'm still going with Mulan.
I think Mulan's probably the best.
It's not even like a
top tier. Nothing to do with this subject matter.
Not soccer. But, you know, it involves, you know, gender norms and cross dressing.
And I'll make a man out of you.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. I'll take that. So we're going to recommend Mulan instead of Ladybugs. What else we got for the people, Brian?
Let's get down to business to berate this film.
So due to scheduling conflicts...
Hi.
Someone won't be here next week, and they'll remain nameless because they're a giant douchebag. But hi. If you don't hear Joe on the next episode, you'll know why.
Well, yeah, we had to make a last minute play, and find a movie that we were able to watch real quick, because some scheduling conflict. So we came up with Godzilla.
Apparently, Joe needs to go help out some team
by dressing in drag.
He is wearing lipstick right now.
I don't know if what I'm doing helps.
Well,
he had to go camping to find himself, and yeah.
And he found himself in a nice size 8 ladies dress.
He's the new marketing director for Toys R Us.
He found other people.
An eight.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So yeah, no role this week.
Well, what do we got, Brian?
Godzilla
from 2014. So don't get excited. Nobody's going to hear the Matthew Broderick inside joke that we've been just dragging through the mud since episode one.
Why would someone bring up Matthew Broderick?
I don't know. You guys can, you know what? Email us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. If you think you know why we make so many Matthew Broderick jokes, do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So no role this week.
Person that gets closest to the actual answer will get a shout out.
All right. And Rob, where can they email us these answers?
The4ampodcast@gmail.com. Oh, you want me to read all the things? That's fine.
I thought it would be a nice segue, but sure, just crap over it.
I mean, you just specifically sent email, so you know, I just saw email. But anyway, guys, we want to thank you so much for listening. We're going to get down to business to defeat the Huns. But if you liked what you heard...
It's business.
It's business time. I'm wearing my business socks. So if you liked what you heard, please consider subscribing. We have a new episode every week. For our episode archive, including Willow and other less crunchy episodes, our merch store, and even more information, check out our website at 4ampodcast.podbean.com. And you can, of course, contact us via all sorts of social media outlets, including our email address, which I've already mentioned twice, but I'll mention again just in case, the4ampodcast@gmail.com. We're also available on Facebook and Twitter at 4ampodcast. And Instagram? Yeah. Instagram. It's 4AM Podcast. Instagram is... Oh, it's the 4AM Podcast. It's all right. Yeah, right. Go to our website. It should have all of those contact links there, so you can avoid any of the confusion. But in the meantime, thanks. That's it.
All right. So, yeah. Thank you all again for listening to this wonderful episode on Ladybugs. Thank you again for William for sponsoring this episode.
Yeah.
We very much appreciate it. You can... sponsor your own episode if you feel so inclined. But until next week, when we have Godzilla.
Adios.
Roar.
Deuces.
Good night, everybody.